This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Resource Center. I'm Maya Tan. I'm here with our e-commerce experts, Ching-Yi Fu, CEO of Tricarsenity, and of course, CK Wong, co-founder of e-commerce Milo. Welcome back. So, you know, we were talking about the 10 things that you need to know before starting your e-commerce venture in Southeast Asia. And I think we kind of concluded that conditions are really, really conducive and encouraging when it comes to e-commerce. But there are some e-commerce myths, just common beliefs that people need to be educated about, you know, that you need to debunk.
Yeah, so e-commerce has been a pretty hot topic recently, you know, as we have discussed previously. And of course, nowadays there are a lot of businesses that are trying to do e-commerce. And we also see a lot of retailers trying to go online, trying to set up their own online store, right, doing e-commerce by themselves. So this is a healthy scenario, I would say, to see more businesses that are aware of e-commerce. And for retailers, they do have some advantages compared to those usual businesses without any retail outlets. Because with retail, they actually have better understanding on what consumers want. Right? They've been doing retails maybe for years or for more than 10 years or tens of years. They really know what consumer wants. You know, that's their advantage. Right? Compared to a new startup, you know, they have no idea what consumer wants. And of course, they have the existing experience on product knowledge, on merchandising, right? And also, they have established suppliers and partners relationship, right?
Right. What about those who are starting off their business, not having any previous retail experience, but like starting off as an app or as a platform?
I think without retail experience, it will be a bit more challenging because like what CK said, you may not know the consumer well enough compared to some of your competitors, or you may not have the existing network of suppliers and partners and be able to manage that as well as existing retailers. However, having said that, I would still try to keep up a positive, upbeat note on potential disruptors. So if you look at some of these, so if you look at e-commerce in a non-traditional sense, you may get these kind of providers like Airbnb or Uber or, you know, these similar type of platforms that are conducting business online but do not necessarily operate in a business model that we currently have. Airbnb doesn't have any hotels, but they are the hottest, largest hotel chain in the world.
So that's really interesting. So there are also sort of like preset understandings of what e-commerce is, and some of this is faulty, of course. So in order to debunk these myths, tell us about what you have on your list. What are the most common myths that people assume are true?
Okay, the first one I would say is everyone thought doing e-commerce is easy before they started. So, but e-commerce is actually not as easy, right? It's actually as challenging or more challenging than doing offline business, perhaps, right? And because starting e-commerce, maybe people think that, you know, the investment will be very low, you know, effort will be lower. But in fact, e-commerce, you know, also require experience, requires investment of dollars, and also requires experience. You know, you need talented people to really, you know, run e-commerce business. So I would say that e-commerce is the same like starting a retail, right? If you start a retail, you need to, you know, do some investment on, you know, the shop, renting, renovation, and so and so. It's the same with online. You know, you also need to invest into setting up a proper
storefront.
Online storefront. And also you need to invest into probably marketing, right, and operation. Right, so
definitely, whereas if you have a shop in a mall, for example, you can rely on traffic and walk-ins.
Correct.
For this one, you know, if nobody sees you, nobody will go to your website if you don't do any advertising or SEO and that sort of stuff.
That's a very good point because, you know, there's a difference when you open up a storefront, let's say in a shopping mall, there's already traffic. But online, you know, besides setting up in marketplace, if you are setting up on your own storefront, the ROI is not immediate, right? Let's say if you open up a retail shop, maybe you can straight away calculate, you know, or forecast the ROI, right? Maybe within how many months you can actually make it back, right? But for online, the ROI, you know, maybe people are not patient enough, right? Let's say for investor, for business owners, for retailers, they thought by just opening out a storefront, you know, the money will come by itself, you know, things like that. So I think this is one of the myth of the retailers, I guess. Yeah,
I would agree with CK on that. I think the cost of setup cannot be ignored. I think it's not just setting up your storefront from a technical perspective, like getting the website up or all the structure up, but also investment in the team to be able to hire the right people that understands how e-commerce ought to be done. So I guess that would bring us to number two,
yeah.
which talks about how internally you need to have people who actually understands how e-commerce works. So a traditional retailer or a business may already have operational staff who are used to running business the traditional way, running in a
brick and mortar
brick and mortar type of business model. But to run it on the e-commerce, I think the differences are very significant. So if the brick and mortar operational staff do not have experience or understanding, and you know they need to be open to new methods of doing business because it's quite different.
What are some of these differences? For example, on the back end, you know, you have inventory and then you have logistics. What are some of the big differences in running retail and e-commerce?
Maybe I'll speak more from a front-end marketing standpoint. So, for example, if you have a retail shop, you are able to arrange the items on your shelf. You know where the eye level is, you know where people view, and then you can put the featured items at eye level so that people see them first and then other items on other shelves. But on the shop front, you also need to be able to translate that so that the users who come to your website are being shown featured items in a real estate area of the website that is prominent. So I think, but to do the same thing on the shelf and then on the website is two different skill sets.
Especially if there is a certain way that you want your user to browse products, right? There's a fixed way in which each store has for their users to sort of browse products.
Yes. Some of it can be automated as well. So on a shelf, you have to rearrange the products yourself. Somebody has to go and shift these items around. But on an e-store, on an online e-commerce store, the rearrangement of featured products and all that and suggested products can be automated based on the user's the personalization feature. So if a user tends to look at sports products, you can show similar products that you think a sports person might be interested in. If this person is always looking at, say, cosmetics, then maybe you want to show more cosmetic related products, and that can be done automatically. But you need to have the skill set to say, I would want to set up this feature and this is how I want to set it up. So that is the kind of skill set that operationally I think some of the marketing and promotional staff will need to have.
What else?
I think one of the big pain is also the retailers, they have existing infrastructure in terms of fulfillment and distribution, right? And if suddenly you ask them to do e-commerce, right, that will be really that will become messy, right? Because they will need to find somewhere else to fulfill the stocks. I think a good example is, for a start, some retailers, they actually, let's say those retailers with a few outlets, right, they will get one of their outlets to do the fulfillment, right? But this is not a perfect solution. This is a tentative solution for a start. This particular store will fulfill the online orders, right? But end of the day, a proper infrastructure in terms of warehousing, in terms of fulfillment and all those need to be properly set up, right, to be ready for e-commerce.
Right. Are there any solutions that you'd like to suggest in terms of having, hiring the right kind of staff for an e-commerce online store?
I would say first thing, maybe look at internal, right? So if if there is a real talent, especially younger people, they might understand e-commerce more, try to promote them or empower them, right, and trust them, right, and because they are the one that can bring you forward, likely. It's not to say 100% likely to bring you forward.
Because they probably observe, you know, what's happening with customers and what's selling better, you know, and if they do have featured items, is the way that you feature items working and so on. Is that right?
A better sense of online, I'll put it that way.
They are customers themselves. They buy things online, so they are familiar with the experience.
Correct. And if you don't have any talents internal, maybe you need to hire from outside.
Using consultants?
I would say that most retailers, when they start e-commerce, they are not willing to commit resources when they started, right? They might just pull internal staff from somewhere else to have this as one of their portfolio, you know, one of their KPIs to take care of e-commerce. I would say this is also a tentative solution. It's best to have someone dedicated to really help your business to grow the e-commerce pie. Yeah. So if you don't have someone internal, then hire externally. And best if you can, then permanent position, right? Maybe start with one and then start to grow your team. You know, you have designer, you have programmers, maybe you have operation, exec, you know, things like that. So I guess that is more on the long run planning. Yeah.
And of course, if you already have a retail storefront, then it looks like, you know, you can't just have the same team sort of cross borders. You really have to have an e-commerce dedicated team looking at all the internal workings of the e-commerce storefront.
Correct.
I'm speaking to CK Wong of E-commerce Milo, co-founder of E-commerce Milo, and Qingyi Fu of Tricor Sanity. We're going through the most common myths when it comes to e-commerce, is that e-commerce has a very low barrier when it comes to entry and that there is zero or very low startup costs. And the second myth is that everybody understands e-commerce easily. More myths to debunk when we come back on Resource Center, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon, this is Resource Center. I'm Maya Tan. Today we're debunking common e-commerce myths, and I'm here with the e-commerce experts Qingyi Fu, CEO of Tricor Sanity, and of course CK Wong, co-founder of E-commerce Milo. So we've kind of covered two myths. One is that e-commerce is really easy for you to get into, and number two is that everybody understands e-commerce, right? What's the third myth?
The third one is that we think that a lot of e-commerce business owners tend to overlook the complexity of the e-commerce setup and maybe feel that it is just a matter of putting up a website. So I think it is far more than that, because beyond just the website, the e-commerce has to present a very compelling experience to the user. You know, it has to range all the way from the website to the mobile. Perhaps you have to look into different payment channels that you accept to make it convenient for the user. So if you only accept one particular payment method and that is not a commonly used one, that in itself is already a deterrent to the shopper.
What are the kinds of questions that companies need to ask themselves then before they set up an e-commerce storefront?
It would be things like whether or not the store ought to support mobile users. That means shoppers who are browsing the catalog or accessing the store online via their mobile devices. What kind of payment methods do they accept, and whether or not there is a shipping fee attached to it. So I think they also need to look into being able to differentiate. So if you look at a lot of e-commerce shopping sites that sell similar items, they tend to have very similar shopping experience. So going from one site to another doesn't offer any differentiation in terms of the shopper experience. But if you are able to offer something different, something interesting, something fun, even if it's a small gimmicky activity, for example, there's a website called Christy Ng Shoes that allow you to customize your shoes.
That's right.
And then there's a jewelry websites like Pandora and Eastwen that allows you to customize your jewelry. I think those can be very interesting differentiation factors that gives the user a little bit more closer experience with the brand and the product that they interact with, rather than just another e-commerce click, buy, put in cart, pay type of experience.
And I think the payment experience also has to be quite flawless and give the customer a sense of security.
Yes. I think security is also very important. I think we will see hopefully, you know, more and more people paying more attention to web security. So web security is something that is often the last thing that people look at, when it ought to be the first thing that people look at, because it is a very important factor. So we have payment gateways that provide the service of accepting payments on our behalf that mitigate a lot of the potential of fraud and hackers and so on. But having said that, that does not mean that the website is completely foolproof. It still needs to be coded in a manner that is following best known practices, so that it is not vulnerable to easy attacks.
So I guess the user experience is key to keep in mind when it comes to e-commerce setup. What are some of the common mistakes that people make in terms of e-commerce setup?
I personally have experienced shopping from a newly launched e-commerce site by not only one, a couple of retailers here. And I know when I start to shop, you know, add to cart and then check out the shopping cart, and then end of the day, I found out the shipping fee is like more than 20 ringgit. You know, even for the small size item, not a very heavy item. So I guess these are the areas that are being overlooked by retailers. This is perfectly a showstopper. Right, when I'm trying to buy something,
definitely. It's a great deterrent, right?
It doesn't make sense, right? Mm-hmm. I think 12 ringgit also doesn't make sense. You know, in order to compete with the market, I guess you really need to look into shipping fees efficiencies.
I have another point to add about the mistakes is that I think retailers especially need to understand that when you have an e-commerce, you don't have a showroom. Mm. There is no staff available for people to ask questions. There is no catalog necessarily. So how would your customer then access your products and ask questions and get customer service or make comparison or check reviews? The whole process of shopping is very different from walking into a showroom. So the retailer needs to understand that concept and design the whole experience in that manner.
What other areas are often overlooked in terms of setup?
Fulfillment is another issue. Right? Again, back to the example just now. If you are trying to buy from a newly launched e-commerce store, I think very likely you can actually experience the slow shipping, right? Because they are not ready yet or they're still learning, right? I guess when you launch an e-commerce site, you need to already, prepare yourself to ship very fast, right? There's no excuse, really. You know, even though you just have like a few orders in a day, right? You need to ship it on that day or the next day latest. Because customers also, they have their own expectation. You know, when I buy something today, and I'm not expecting to receive it like 7 days later, right? I guess in Malaysia standard, it's within 2 or 3 days. Oh, that's tolerable.
Exactly. Yeah. I remember when Zalora opened, they very, very prominently advertised a 48-hour turnaround in order to get your product. And they offered a cash-on-delivery option. Mm. So I remember needing this dress for a particular event. And I ordered it definitely 48 hours before the event. But it was quite urgent that I get it, you know, at least on the day of the event, right? So I put it in and I never heard from them. And I think maybe like 7 to 10 days later, someone called and said, "Yes, you ordered a dress and I'm going to deliver it to you." I'm like, "No, I don't want it anymore." You know, and I think they obviously lost my sale. That dress wasn't very expensive. But imagine if that customer experience or that same incident was replicated across a great cross-section of their customers, they would have lost a lot of sales in that way. So I think that was a big learning. I kind of felt like it was a big thing to offer a 48-hour turnaround right from the get-go, you know, when you first launched. But again, maybe that was the thing that they needed, you know, that something special that you mentioned earlier, Qingyi. So yeah, fulfillment is, I think, one of the biggest things. Also, bearing in mind that the volume might be larger than a little retail store, brick and mortar store that you have. All of a sudden, are you able to meet that demand, right?
Yeah.
And what happens in inventory? I think that's also something that's quite tricky. If you have a lot of stock, you might be saddled with it. If you don't have the stock and you have to rely on pre-orders and things like that, I don't know. Have you got any insight on, you know, what customers prefer and how have retailers been coping with these things?
I guess pre-orders used to be a big hit right here in Malaysia a few years ago. And right now, I would believe that customer expectation has changed, right? And people will no longer prefer pre-order if you have the instant order kind of arrangement, because right now a lot of items they are selling in marketplace, not only in Malaysia, those from China. Even though you order from China, they also tell you that they will deliver within like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you know, with free shipping. So I guess pre-order is, it used to be applicable for foreign orders cross-border, but right now cross-border is getting, you know, the gap is getting closer and closer, right? And for inventory management, this is a very big headache for retailers, right? And back to the topic again, you know, how they are going to fulfill, right? How going to ship from their store, their warehouse? Because their infrastructure, their warehouse is being set up for the retail, the traditional brick and mortar way, not for online way, right? So for e-commerce, if they want to do e-commerce, I think they might also need to redesign their warehousing system, you know, redesign their whole fulfillment flow, their whole distribution flow. That's actually a very big investment for retailers. Again, I guess the best solution for now is to get one store to fulfill all the orders first, start from there. At least you start from somewhere.
Better than telephone orders, maybe.
I've been speaking to CK Wong of E-commerce Milo and Ching Yi Fu of Tracker Sanity. We're talking about the most common myths that e-commerce retailers have. We're going to continue this conversation with part two next week, so do look out for it. This has been Resource Center on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.